Let's just get right into it on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, even though he is sitting right over there. It is Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com live each weekday. We'll get to the 6 minutes of football podcast, which I love the title this week. A masterclass on how to win. We'll see which way Jeff's going with that.
That's pretty good. Who did that?
But before we get to that, I asked you.
Man, you're just giddy.
I'm very excited about this because you're a great storyteller.
Okay.
And we enjoy it when you have a story that has some cool layers. This one feels like it might.
Oh.
So I asked you about the Moody Center and if you had any concerts in mind because you're a big music guy like we are.
Yep.
And you first thing that popped in out of your mouth was the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles are coming. Yes.
And then you asked me a question which will lead us to this story.
Okay.
So the question was, have I ever told you the story of when I played golf with Glenn Frey?
Well, I didn't just walk in and go, let me name drop real quickly and be cool.
I led you there.
You led me into it. You said, are you an Eagles guy? And I said, yes, very much so. And you said something like, are you into the reincarnation of the Eagles? In other words, post Glenn Frey.
Exactly.
And I said, it's hard because I'm a big Eagles fan, and it's hard for me. And oh, by the way, I should tell you my story about playing golf with Glenn Frey.
There it is. Okay.
Deer. A lot.
A
lot of money.
If there wasn't
money I didn't have.
Oh, wow. Wait, you lost money to Glenn Frey playing golf?
Hang on.
Okay. All right. Lay it out for us.
All right. So,
and take it easy when you do.
Sure, I will. Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
Nice.
Dad joke.
Yeah.
I'll be here all day.
You want to work Desperado in there, too?
That's later.
That'll be cool.
We'll do that.
Super cool.
We will do that later on.
So, at that time in my life, I used to play a lot of golf. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I had a good buddy of mine I played golf with who was from Aspen, Colorado. And he was ran Aspen Golf Club or something like that, which is a pretty nice gig. He has hilarious stories. His are better than mine. He has a great story about Jack Nicholson throwing a 5-iron through a car windshield.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got some great stories. But so we knew each other. We played golf together. And I go, I'm a fly fishing fan. I love to fly fish. And I would go to a little town near Aspen called Basalt, Colorado, about the same time every year and go fishing for a few days. So he said, hey, man, are you going to be up there? Whatever weekend it was, I said, sure, I'm going to be fishing. He goes, you should come over and play golf. I said, okay, I'll come play. Going to Aspen, we played one day. He says, you got to hang around for my tournament tomorrow. I go, you have a tournament? He goes, well, it's not mine. It's Danny Sullivan, the race car driver.
Uh-huh.
He has a charity tournament he has every year, and we got a shootout we're putting on tomorrow. And, you know, we got space. Why don't you work your way in there? I said, what am I going to do there? Nobody knows who I am. He sets it up. It's a shootout. They have 12 celebrities, 13 celebrities, whatever the number is. You all start in the first tee. So I show up. I'd been fishing all weekend, so I head into Aspen, got my golf gear, and I'm out front. It's kind of raining. This beat-up Bronco pulls up, orange beat-up Bronco. Guy rolls the window down. He says, hey, are you playing in the shootout? I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, hey, can I just throw my clubs on your cart? Well, yes, you can, Glenn.
Like you knew it was him right away.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying I didn't mean.
I'm sorry.
You were looking at each other to where you were like,
said,
oh my God.
Yeah, throw your clubs on.
Yeah, what are you going to say? No.
Like, whole ass, buddy. Get out of here.
If it was, Don or Joe, but not you, man.
Right. It was Joe Walsh, man. So I go, yeah, sure. Come on, let's go. And so we get over, sit down in the golf cart, shakes hands. Hey, Glenn, Jeff. Yep. So you guys, a huge football fan, was sadly. Huge football fan. How he knew who I was, I have no idea. But he's that big of a fan, that big of a nerd.
So he knew who you were?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, he knew. He followed football and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd heard my name. He didn't know anything else about it. So he goes, hey, look, I'm going to get some beer. I suck. I said, oh, okay. Well, I don't suck. So we'll see. So we get on the first hole. He hits it dead in the street or whatever. He's eliminated first hole. Okay, we're on the same golf cart. Okay. We're just hanging out, starting to have some beers. I'm on fire. I win. I just keep going.
Okay.
Keep going. And people are dropping out. So we, of course, the whole time, Glenn, he's digging this, and he's just drinking beers, and we're talking football. He's obsessed with football. So we talk football the whole time.
Yeah.
And more beer, and he's got a beautiful friend with him. She's about 24 or whatever, but that was cool.
Glenn Frey.
Yeah.
That's well done.
Yeah. So we hang out. I mean, this is going on for a while. So we get to, I'm in the final two. We're 11 holes in.
Wow, you made it that far
in? That far, yeah. I'm on fire. I mean.
Now, again, are you just having to keep it in the fairway, or are you literally having to win every hole?
a lot of those guys were hitting it out in the woods and stuff, so you just pretty much keep it between the lines.
I got you.
Except for one guy, really good-looking guy in slacks who happened to be the husband of a very fit Chris Everett.
Oh, so Greg Norman at the time?
No. Oh. Greg Norman was there, though.
Okay, I was going to say, that would be unfair to everybody else.
No. So Andy Mills, Olympic skier.
Andy Mills, the skier. The two of us are
in the final group, right? We're in the final group. We just end up in the shootout. So hanging out, you know, just thinking, wow, this is pretty interesting. This guy's a good player, and I'm a fairly competitive person, so if you push me hard enough, I'll push back. So we get up there, the final green, the guy's the MC of the thing. This is after a few beers now with Glenn, of course, which if you're going to hang out with Glenn, first of all, I didn't want to get out of my cart to go hit a ball. I just wanted to sit there and just chat.
Right.
And just chat about stuff, that's all. And he just wanted to talk about football. So I get out of the cart to go up, and so the guy who's emceeing the deal, I think it was par four, fairly easy hole. We're both on there in two, about 25, 30 feet away. So to tell you what, he goes, everybody, there's not very many people following us except Chris Everett. He's kind of hanging out. That's a little intimidating.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm drinking beer with Glenn Frey and Chris Everett's
watching.
Chris
Everett's over here.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, she doesn't drink, though. But hey, Chris.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of got a type. She's into athletic guys.
Yeah, super. Super athletic.
Yeah.
And so the guy goes, these two are going to putt it off to see who wins the top prize. All right, whatever, man. Let's go. I putt, leave it 12 inches short or so.
Mm.
He putts, leaves it further out.
Okay.
Yay, Jeff, you win. Okay. Dude starts thumbing through the cash.
Whoa.
I mean, it's a lot of cash. I get the cash. I sit down, and Glenn Frey cracks, you know, that's like, what, lunch money for him.
Yeah, right.
He said, way to go, man. It was cool. I go, hey, I have like $6 on me. Had I lost, I would have been the one out. I didn't have any money. I didn't know we were playing for a lot of money, and I didn't have any money. I just had a six-pack of beer.
So as they handed you that money, that came from the other guy, too?
Yeah, it came like from all those guys.
Mills and all these other guys had to pay.
Who had all the money?
So they would have come to you.
I'd say,
and
hey,
you'd
Glenn,
have said, hey, Glenn.
Glenn,
get up,
can you spot me $2,000, man? Yeah.
Can I borrow some cash, Glenn Frost?
Think he would have spotted you?
I don't know. At that point, he
By
might have.
By that time, I think so.
He might have.
Now, was there any ingredient of, were you thinking, I want to stay alive in this golf event because I get to keep talking to Glenn Frey?
Yeah. It was. I didn't think it through that much because once you kind of get into it and we're hanging out there and this is going on for three, you know, it felt like it took us forever. Yeah, dudes, it would start with 11 people and nine of them are just horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. So balls are flying every which way and it didn't matter. People are signing autographs and there's me. No one's talking to me, so I can concentrate and play golf. Myself and notice how the two most nondescript guys in the group, myself and the good-looking guy, the skier who nobody knows except the people in Aspen.
Right, you'd have to be a ski freak to know exactly who he is.
Or I didn't even know who he was.
Or, like, I would have known
who
he was.
I just thought, man, who shows up and plays in slacks? Yeah, what's this guy doing?
The only way I would have known who he was is because I'm a tennis guy.
Yeah.
And I would have known that's Chrissy's husband.
I think
she
dropped him shortly after.
Yeah.
So then I do that. Then we go back, have a few more beers, and then I got to go see them play there in Aspen. It was just him and somebody else. Can't remember who the guy was that night. So it was a pretty good night. So the next day, I'm in the celebrity tournament, the tournament portion. And so I'm walking around looking for my golf cart, and I see this thing. It says Ward, Denver. Yeah, whatever. Throw my clubs on, go do my little warm-up routine. Guy comes over, says, Jeff. Said, yep, John Denver.
Wow.
Well, hello, John. Let's go.
Wow. Could have been Bob Denver, TV's Gilligan.
No, didn't think that.
It's John Denver.
John.
Musical legend.
John. A lot of nuggets, a lot of jewelry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait. John Denver played golf with finger jewelry?
It had like a big bracelet on. It was weird. And he was nice
lots
guy.
Of nuggets?
Yeah, it felt like there's a lot of jewelry going on there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about a lot of cannabis.
No, that too, probably. So he
Denver.
Was...
Is he rocking those round glasses?
He had some shades, yeah.
The round shades?
Yeah. Oh, was this in the Rocky Mountains?
Yeah.
So you were on a Rocky Mountain high then.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
That was worse than mine.
He died shortly after.
Worse than, really?
Yeah, I think it was like that week he slammed into that cliff or wherever.
Yeah, he died in the mid to late 90s.
Let me tell you about
him.
Again, I could play then. I used to play a lot of golf. And he was ultra serious, as in almost offensive serious.
Really?
I'm thinking these people paid a lot of money to play with you, and all you're doing is lining up putts and getting on people's cases and tell him not to swing in your backswing. It's like, buddy, lighten up.
You're saying John Denver was an annoying golfer?
Annoying.
Really?
A good player, though. A good player.
Okay, he was good enough to be a little annoying.
Yeah, but not when he's a celebrity. Yeah, come
took
on.
It too far.
Yeah, come on. So even I was going, settle down, man.
And I love the fact
that not that good.
And the music that, you know, the music he became famous for, Far From Angry, right? Yeah. And Far From, like, Attitude. That's not what his music was about. The idea that he was that way on a golf course is kind of funny.
I just think he was that way about golf. But so this buddy of mine who I'd been up there fishing with, I see him come walking over. He goes, Ward. He goes, you're freaking kidding me. I said, what? He goes, is that John Denver? I said, yeah, that's him.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. That is good stuff. That's good. If anybody gets into the competition of, you know, who have you played golf with, those two stories right there.
I feel like it's up there, yeah.
Right?
I do.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's well done. Glenn Fry in a golf cart slamming beers.
I once accused Johnny Rodriguez of stealing golf balls out of my bag. It was an awkward exchange.
Who is Johnny Rodriguez?
Walk down the hall, man. Where do you work? Walk over there and talk.
Bob Cole's alias?
Yeah. He's a country artist. Yeah, pretty old school Texas country artist.
Yeah, that is old school.
Yeah.
That is old school.
Yeah.
Accused him of stealing from you?
Well, so I'm up at the tee. It was over at Barton Creek. I'm up at the tee. I see this dude. He's got a beat up hat on, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's digging through my bag. I said, hey, buddy, I didn't know who he was. It's not.
He's still trying to find a golf
ball. I think I know my fair share of country music, but I'm not that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that far back. And I go, hey, what are you doing, man? He's looking for some golf balls. Well, get your own.
Right.
He goes, I think I'll play with you. I said, wait, what's your name? He said, I'm Johnny. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I said, well, hey, Johnny, go ahead and take a couple golf balls. And he probably hit it in the canyon or whatever.
And to be fair to you, that's not like Waylon Jennings was in your golf bag at that point.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny had his time and everything, but he, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of Desperado, though, he did Desperado.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God, he was bad.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I don't think it ever got off the ground. I mean, it just, every shot was topped.
Skull and everything.
Oh,
yeah, bad.
Poor Johnny.
That is bad. That's the kind of golf you want to be drinking. You definitely want to be drinking there. All right, so remember, Jeff Ward Show. You can go at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. No, we're getting to the 6 Minutes of Football podcast. This is where we pump the sports part of your world. A masterclass on how to win, Jeff Ward.
Hold on a second, because we don't have a ton of time left.
We don't.
And I do want to get Jeff's thoughts on this NIL deal that was just announced for Texas. Like, we can push people to the podcast so that they can hear the full version of 6 Minutes of Football.
It's about Baylor. Oh, I was wondering if it was about Belichick last night.
It could just replace the two. It's about Baylor.
Baylor.
I could not have been more impressed with their performance in the Big 12 championship game. That is the way the game should be played. That is how you tackle. That is how you get a push in the defensive line. Everything about them was impressive.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a fun school to hate because Waco is such a cesspool, but that was a fun football team to watch this year.
It really was. I mean, they're just so efficient. I mean, they've been through, 3 coaches now in 6 years or something like that?
Right.
And look at them. Look at the brand. It's the brand of football they play that is such a breath of fresh air. In fact, in the podcast, I think I even say, in a way, the Big 12 is better than it's been in a long time, 1 through 6. It really is. It doesn't look the same because it's not 58-56, but those were two good teams playing on Saturday.
A lot of good fundamental running game.
Yeah, I mean, they were both. Oklahoma State was a better defensive team than people thought, and then Baylor just shoved them around. I thought the final play was classic. I admire the way they play the game, the way they approach it. Really do.
I dig Dave Aranda and his demeanor on the sidelines.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They showed it too. If you watch them, and particularly their secondary, when there's a Baylor helmet near you, you go down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You go down the ground. There's no yards after catch or carry, you know, none of that stuff. They go to the ground. Those guys tackle like crazy.
Yeah, I've said it all year long. I hate how much I love watching Baylor play football.
It's
really. I do.
Yeah, and I thought both of them were pretty solid, but Baylor was just the better team. That the way it ended was so perfect because that secondary of theirs I thought was just lights out. And I know they're not deep, and I think it showed up at different times throughout the year, but you give them time, those guys just play a rock-solid brand of football. It's so frustrating for Texas fans.
Yeah.
To look out there and go, that's how you tackle, that's how you pursue, that's how you have angles.
Yeah, no, it's you're right.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. All right, Trey, you want to get a thoughts on the NIL offensive yeah. line deal?
Yeah, what'd you make of it being announced yesterday that Horns with Heart is guaranteeing every scholarship member of the Texas Longhorn roster that is on the offensive line $50,000 per season?
What I think of it is kind of what I told you guys in the beginning. These aren't really commercial deals. They're kind of handouts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. That's what it was going to turn out to be.
Mm-hmm.
These are not commercial endorsement deals because no one's hiring these people. What it's going to turn out to be is exactly the process this is going to go through. You can round up enough people to give out enough money. They'll do it.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday.
And there is such a... I mean, I know people say, well, these guys deserve it. Okay, that's fine. But you have to acknowledge that a money factory like Texas has such an advantage over Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's true.
I mean, 4 phone calls, they raise a bunch of money to give it. Now, give it. This is not – I'm not demeaning these guys because they're not breaking the rules that I know of. I'm just saying this is not what people thought they were going to do, and that is, oh, you do an ad or you endorse a product, you get money. This is, we'll pull money together legally and give it to you.
How much of this for you is the stuff that was under the table is now on the table?
It's what I said before. I mean, right? the only problem is it will be above the table. This is above the table. It's even more money that's above the table. The problem is, and this is better than having a deal with an agent because they're going to want it back somehow. So,
they're going to want the money back. You're saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, those are loans. Yeah. This is take it.
And
take it because you're at Texas. Now, again, when the tax bill comes, I don't know how that looks for some college kid.
Right. And I was going to say, Uncle Sam's going to want his part of the mix.
Yeah, good luck with
mix.
That. I guess a CPA is going to be hired on Sarkisian's staff. Yeah.
Also, I heard an interesting comment yesterday from
but do you agree with that? That this is, in effect, just finding a way to give some guys some money because they play at your school, which is what I said at the beginning. It's what it's going to turn into.
But to me, I've always asked that question of what is so wrong with that. When I heard stories back in the day of, well, they offered this player
–
you know, this much money to do nothing or to do very little. I remember thinking, so? It's a booster of the school, and they want to. They're supporting a player that's there. Okay, that's like a perk at your job.
Yeah.
You know, you find out that somebody that at your job wants to give you some perk or this or that or free this or, hey, you get a company car or whatever it is. Like, okay. Like, those stories never bothered me that much.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in that context, this one shouldn't. Unless, of course, you are Rice, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech, and you're saying, oh, well, if you say that they're second-tier status now, okay, they're going to be even more so second-tier status.
But don't they have their own version of something to offer? It's just less.
Who has as much as Texas?
No, not as much as Texas.
Okay.
Their own version of it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
if that's – if you know, if you're going to say, well, Texas Tech can give out 10, okay.
But also, I mean, you just mentioned Rice. I mean – we all know it costs a lot to go to Rice.
Absolutely.
So they have boosters and they have supporters that have a lot of money.
Well, unlike many other places, I don't think they care that much about football. They got more bigger priorities, you know, like engineering and stuff.
I would bet you that there are Rice athletes moving forward that are going to – there'll be people making sure they drive nice cars. Is that fair?
I doubt it.
Really?
I almost went to Rice. I doubt it. Yeah.
You don't think Houston car dealerships, you don't think Rice boosters are going to pile money up?
Yeah, credit their alumni. They don't care.
You don't think?
I think they have better priorities.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I think this is a terrible. I mean, I went to Texas, and I think the world of the place, and I love it. I think there are bigger priorities than handing money over to football players just because.
Hmm.
I don't think it's a good look.
Okay.
That's my righteous speech of the day.
It was very righteous.
Yeah. But I mean, it's above board. You're exactly right. It's taking, that was the theory behind all of it. Take everything that used to go on under the table, which I saw a lot of it, and put it above board. Yeah. Okay. But it's not, you know, please don't mistake this as some sort of commercial business enterprise. It's handing money to people just because.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's giving you money because you play at Texas or USC or wherever. And you're not going to get any Rice. I don't think. I could be wrong. I mean, it'd be great if I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
I don't think it's just because, though, there is a reason why these guys are getting this money. I mean, they are putting their livelihoods on the line to play football for the school. And, yeah, part of that value is getting the free education, but the value goes beyond that, considering how many billions of dollars are made from the sport each and every year. And you're right. Those at Rice care a lot more about putting money into the medical school, the law school, all the other great schools that exist within the university that is Rice, whereas with Texas and plenty of other schools across the country, they do care more about football. It's why when we see the college football playoff expanded,
right,
probably in 2025 at this point, unfortunately, according to the computer program that is Bob Bowlesby, you will see a more distinct separation between the Power 5 schools and the G5 schools. With the G5, they have their own division, their own playoff, and the Power 5 have their own division, their own playoff, because there is so much more money changing hands at the Power 5 level.
Yeah, look, if you want, I mean, that's the giant argument that's been around forever. Okay, look, if you go there, do you deserve it? Because they're making money off of you, do you deserve it? If you just want to leave it at that simple argument, then yeah, sure, just give them money because they happen to be wearing a Longhorn uniform. That is if you fully accept, again, I hate to sound like a righteous professor here, but that's if you fully accept the football team has nothing to do with the school. If you want to accept that, then you can operate that way. But if you want to operate as if it is a part of the school and that you're not some separate entity that lives on its own, operates on its own, if you want to be attached to the school, then I think it's a little slimy. I think money, again, I mean, people donate money, can donate money any way they want. But I just think it further detaches an athletic program from the school, which is already pretty far apart right now.
Yeah, I mean, most
and here's the sort of bleeding heart part of me. I played with a lot of guys who, one of the speeches I gave to a team not long ago, and they didn't like it and never invited me back. And I said, this place is using you and you don't know how to use it. And that's what's sad. These guys do not have the capability to go to college like everyone else. And they are being used. They are being used and they are spit out. If they don't play in the NFL, they are not getting a degree. They have no marketable skills whatsoever, largely, not all. And that's the sinister part of this. The system does use them, and I know you're going to say, well, they deserve something. They do. But they're taken to a campus with no chance to make it. They have no skills.
That must have gone over really well.
I said, yeah.
That must have been.
Well, I didn't say you don't have any skills. What I said was,
they're using
You've got to learn to use them like they're going to use you.
But isn't
the people
this
on the outside of that room? Oh, must it, have got, been
it went
going
dead
crazy.
Silent. Because you are many college football players, and I know people don't want to hear this. Okay, you don't want to hear the curtain pulled back. You don't want to hear. You just want to think that it's all everybody claps for you all the time. The reality is, a lot of players come from backgrounds and school districts where they do not belong at major colleges. They don't have the academic skills, and so they are sort of held along, sort of propped up all along just to keep them eligible with the hope that they might make the NFL, and most do not. And when they don't, life goes just back to the way it was because they don't have the skills to take advantage of the school itself.
But isn't this them then getting back a little bit from the system that's using them?
Yeah. No, it is, but it's not. Yes, you're getting short-term payment because you were there. Okay, so you got $30,000 and you're 22. Okay, I guess 30 is better than none. But you are not anywhere where people think these guys are. They're not mostly not getting degrees, and if so, not marketable degrees. They're beat up to hell, and they're not playing the NFL. And they're spit out and not any different when they were 16 and 17.
I think there are more guys taking advantage of the free education element of all of this than most of us realize. Just looking at the guys on the Texas roster who just graduated literally after 3 or 4 years with decent degrees, some of whom may try and grad transfer someplace else, some of whom may stay with Texas, some of whom may be done with football. But when you add a financial element to it, that they are essentially getting paid for doing this other full-time job, it does level the playing field for them as student athletes.
There's nothing wrong with the argument. Everyone's right in the argument. I'm just saying I think there's a deeper problem than what people want to acknowledge. And the deeper problem is there are not that many guys. Out of my college recruiting class, there were not many of us that went in that had any skills whatsoever to make it in college. we can hang around and you can take us to a tutor. Not us, but a lot of guys go to a tutor, go to a tutor, go to another one. You didn't really go to college like everyone else because they couldn't. Because the promise was, I need to keep you eligible. And I need to try to get you to the NFL. And that sounds great when you're 17 to 23. Try 25 and you got nothing. Now, it sounds bleeding heart, and they would say, well, Jeff, but they get a chance. It's not the college's fault. You've got a bunch of 18-year-olds on football scholarships. Yes, they're worth money. Yes, it is a chance. But the majority of those 18-year-olds are not entering with the skill sets that make them belong in college. They're not getting in like everyone else. They don't have the skills, largely. Not all. The ones that do, that's why I said you've got to learn to use where you get a scholarship. You have to be skillful enough to use it athletically, academically, and socially. Use it. Use everyone there.
That's Jeff Ward, jeffwardshow.com. Check out the 6 Minutes of Football podcast focusing in on Baylor's win in the Big 12 championship game. Always good to see you, sir.
Good seeing you.